Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Having a lot of fun today. This is one of my favorite shows of the year. I get my buddy Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats sitting in while Barbecue Bob's out drinking margaritas in Margaritaville down there in Key West. So I miss you, Bob, but I don't feel for you right now, brother. It's you know, 15 degrees out here, and you're 15 margaritas in, I'm sure. But anyway, Mr. Sobey and I have a dear friend. He's a great guy, and he happens to be a walleye charter captain out of Augray. That's over on the Saginaw Bay. And now on the live line, we've got Captain Ken from Gyra Charters. Hey, Ken, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing good.
Good. Hey, Tim and I have both been out on your boat slaying the walleyes summer after summer. It's something we really enjoy doing, don't you, Tim?
Absolutely. I got one of those on my wall up at the cabin, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we brought Michelle for the first time this summer, and she caught about a 4.5-pounder, the biggest fish we caught, first one in the boat.
Nice.
And that's my when my phone rings, it's her picture on Ken's boat holding that walleye. So near and dear to my heart. This is one of our buddies. But, Ken, what's going on Saginaw Bay this time of year?
Well, you know, this year has been a little tricky. The ice conditions vary almost daily. So, you know, when you can get out and go ice fishing, you got to have 2 or 3 days where it gets kind of cold and stays that way. You know, the fishing has been pretty good. And then, you know, you get a day that's good and a day that's not so good. But, you know, yesterday and today, and depending on what it does tonight, but through this weekend, it might be a real good weekend to be out there.
Yeah, and when you say out there, are you going out, are you jig fishing for walleye? Are you tip-ups? Are you spearing? What's that look like?
Well, for me, just because I get an opportunity to walleye fish so much in the summer, one of my favorite things to do is to get out there, crush a hole, and spear northern pike. In the last couple of years, the northern pike population has really expanded. Most of that, I think, is due to the higher water in the bay. They're able to spawn a lot easier. And the pike fishing has been phenomenal.
So you're fishing with them with a 5-prong and hook and bait?
Yep. We put a couple tip-ups out, and we sit in the hole and keep a little jigging minnow down there and wait for that big pike to come in.
All right. So what's a big pike in your world?
Well, you know, I would say anything over 30 inches is a good pike for me.
Yep. And you're seeing them on a regular basis.
Yeah. I mean, this year, you know, I haven't been out much. You know, my buddy Mike Vane, who lives up the street there, he's been out a couple times. And he got, he was out 2 days ago. He got, I think, 2 really nice pike, all over 30 inches. Wow. He got one spearing, and he got one, 2 of them on tip-ups.
Wow.
So they're still there. They're doing good.
So coming from a guy who I've seen clean several hundred fish with my own eyes, what you got any tips on cleaning these pike? You always hear about the Y-bones, and you got to be so careful. And what's that look like?
Well, it's a hard thing to explain over the phone, but it is possible, and everybody kind of – well, how do I say it? Everybody kind of picks their own way to do it. But I've come up with a way that I can, you know, take out some good fillets and boneless fillets for that matter. And they turn out to be more of a strip of meat than it is a full fillet like a walleye.
Right.
And, but it's delicious. And
the
bigger the pike, the better and easier it is to clean.
Yeah, exactly. Those bones are bigger. So, speaking of bones, you and Tim, I'm sure, were bending an L-bone, and we're coming up with I understand he helped you with some meat sticks this year. And I think a lot of guys try to make these, and you played sly when I was with you last Saturday night. I'm sitting there, I'm having my drink, and we're listening to Tim's band play, and all of a sudden I get smacked on the back of the hand with a meat stick. And I just grabbed it. I assumed it was from Sobey's because we both do a lot of shopping there. And I'm like, that tastes pretty good. He goes, really? Yeah, I made it. I'm like, you made it? Yeah, so how'd that go down?
Well, last summer, Judy bought me a smoker for my birthday.
All right.
And that's something that her and I have really enjoyed doing. And, of course, every time we're in Grand Rapids, we can't wait to stop and see, you know, Sobeys and go in their meat shop. We just love to do that. And we've been buying their meat sticks for quite a while now. And I said, man, one thing about out walleye fishing in the summertime, if you can grab a meat stick, that is being in paradise. So we decided, let's give it a shot. So we kept experimenting. And, of course, Teresa and Tim have been very helpful in giving us tips and ideas. And, you know, we purchased our sausage and that kind of thing from them. And so we just started experimenting with it. And our, you know, our favorite is the teriyaki meat stick.
Right.
And we just started smoking them up. And we're still learning. But we're having a ball doing it. And we're getting kind of low, and we're getting ready to start a new batch for spring.
That's good. So, Tim, tell us a couple tips. If a guy wanted to make his own meat sticks out of venison, or if he comes and buys a beef pork mixture or whatever it is.
Number one sausage tip is a good mix. You want, if you were to think, if you had a meatloaf, you want every bite to taste the same. That's how it is with a sausage.
Okay.
People think, well, I just want to do it quick. No, it's not quick. It's good. And then the other thing, and Captain Ken and Judy have done an awesome job, is to get a nice stuff in that casing so it's not full of air pockets. And is a, I told you, Captain Ken, you gave me one of yours. We're ready for a Sobey Meats 2 over in Au Gray when you and Judy are ready to do that. But the texture, the consistency, and the nice pack in the casing, beautiful, beautiful job.
Right. Well done, yeah, Captain really Ken. Done. Man, that's awesome.
Grinder. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
No, we bought this grinder stuffer here a couple of years ago, and you know I use it for making, you know, venison hamburger and things like that. But this has worked out really, really well for making these sausages also. So that's been real helpful.
So Tim, talk about the grind. Your grinder, your commercial grinder that you have many different levels of, I'm going to say coarseness, if that's the right word.
Yep, that's the right word, yeah.
Okay, and why are some more coarse than the other? Why would anybody care about that?
Some of them, like a brat, for an example, or a kielbasa, I'll say tradition, that's nothing that we invented. That was made years ago. And I think back, because years in the past, then they were hand grinding, and probably a lot of people had one, you know, you just make bologna spread, you know, from grandma or whatever.
Right.
But the time it took to hand grind, so I think is why a lot of those sausages were traditionally a one-time coarse ground. Now, as we've gotten into like a meat stick or a hot dog or something like that, as years have gone and with a motorized grinder, then you'll go to a finer grind for something like that.
So, and your meat sticks, and we'll talk about those in the next segment. I want to close with that, because everybody that leaves your store has a bag of those, right, Ken?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't go. You can't leave. He's got 20 foot of his meat case for smoked meats. Right? Come on, you can't walk by.
I cannot drive back to Au Gray without eating.
Eat yours on the way here and mine on the way home.
Right? Yeah. So Ken, before we get to the meat sticks, but. When's the charter season start again for walleyes?
Well, you know, a lot of it depends on when the ice goes out, those types of things. But generally, I typically try to plan on the end of April, right around the end of April, plus or minus a couple of days, one way or the other. End of April, 1st of May, I've got, you know, I can safely put my dock back in, get my boat all ready to go. And my boat's in the water, generally speaking, by the 1st of May.
Yeah, so that's right around when the season opener is then, right? I mean, well, walleye and trout open all about the same time that last weekend in April. So, yeah, that works. Really cool. So if somebody wanted to have a charter with you, Ken, how do they find you?
Well, I've got a website, you know, gyrocharters.com. I also have a phone number that a lot of people call. My phone number is area code 616-293-1309, and they can call and reserve a weekend or a weekday anytime they want from about May 1st to, I'm going to say, the end of August.
Right, and if you didn't get a chance to write that down, you go on thegrillingguys.com, and we have a link to Captain Ken and Gyra Charters. That's J-I-R-E-H, right, Gyra?
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, Captain Ken, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend.
Good hearing from you, Captain Ken, and we'll be hopefully getting a fishing trip booked with you here soon.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I always do. You guys are great guys, a lot of fun to be out fishing with. And, you know, last year was a great season. Expect good things this year also. So
all right.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Stay warm. That was Captain Ken, Gyra Charters. If you want to take a walleye fishing trip, there's nobody better to go with, right, Tim?
Absolutely. His worms are all named.
That's right. All right, coming up next, it's going to be all about the meat stick. Stick with us. We'll be back.